Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus. Today's gospel from the gospel according to St. John might very well be called the gospel for the skeptic. And for that reason, it's a reading that is very near and dear to my own heart because I tend to be a rather skeptical person. If you want to convince me of something, a logical argument with charts and graphs will go a lot further than some emotional narrative with a complicated plot line. I can't follow it. I look at things analytically and scientifically. I like to take things apart and put them back together again. I appreciate hard data and sound analysis and evidence. I don't readily attribute unexplainable events to devils, angels, or even miracles from God. I tend to think that when things go bump in the night, they are more likely to be the result of bad plumbing, a small earthquake, or a loose floorboard, more than anything even remotely supernatural. I just don't go in that direction. And I think I come by this mindset honestly. All those years in the science classroom and in the laboratory shape how you think. And I was thinking that way long before I chose science as my major in college. Even as a kid, I liked to take things apart and put things together and did not take anybody's word for anything. I think God just wires people that way when he doles out our reason and all our senses under the first article. There is a such thing as healthy skepticism. A mind that is not so open that the brains simply fall out. It guards against superstition, and it generally wards off strange ideas, mistaken notions, in addition to a lot of bad religion. Skeptics, I think, are like the control rods in a nuclear reactor, cooling down the fevered pitch of enthusiasm with some cool, if not boring, hard reason. Of one thing you can be sure, skeptics are not going to be the first to dive into the pool without testing the water. There is something that happens, though, when sin gets a hold of healthy skepticism. Sin will turn healthy skepticism into hardened cynicism. It stunts the imagination. It blinds us to the things that are above, the spiritual things. Man does not live by hard evidence alone. And while it's true that our technologies rely on hard data and our courtrooms generally rely on hard evidence, and when I make a decision whether or not it's safe to cross the street, I do not simply close my eyes, pray for God's protection, and then go running out into traffic. It just doesn't work that way. For example, when someone says, "I love you," our usual response is not going to be, "Can you show me the evidence for what you are saying?" I assure you that if you say that, you are not going to hear the words, "I love you," very much in your life. So don't try that. There are things in our life that sort of defy analysis and charts and measurements, things like beauty and justice and mercy and love. If I try to understand why a piece of music is beautiful by analyzing all the waveforms of its sound, I will no longer have that piece of music in all of its beauty. In fact, I will have destroyed it. Higher still than beauty and mercy and love are the transcendent and the holy, the things that go beyond our time and our space, eternity. And heaven, the angels, the archangels, what the Bible can only deliver in picture form and describe for us with faint sketches, the outlines of holiness. That's all we can bear. When Isaiah saw the Lord on his throne, highly exalted and lifted up, he couldn't begin to describe what he saw. He could only describe what was around the Lord when he was exalted, high, and lifted up. What the artist called the negative space, the stuff around him. That's all he could describe, because no one may look on God and live. Skepticism that is fueled and informed by sin simply becomes unbelief and atheism. We skeptics always walk that narrow line of atheism, a blanket denial that there is a God at all, or that there is anything above and beyond this natural world that we experience. We human beings who are made in the image of God are made to think above and beyond ourselves, above and beyond our next meal, above and beyond the roof over our head. And God himself comes down to meet us on that humble plane of our reason and our senses. The eternal Word, through whom all things are made, became flesh. And he dwells among us, and he hangs out with us, and he lives with us, and he pitches his tent among us. Now, when I think of skeptics, I think of Philip's friend Nathanael. Philip, by comparison, seems downright impulsive, if not a bit reckless, and perhaps even irresponsible. By John's account, Jesus decides to head north to Galilee, and he encounters Philip, and he simply says to him, "Follow me." And with so much as a word of conversation, or maybe a question too about exactly where he was going, Philip does exactly that. He follows Jesus. Andrew was pretty much the same. He heard John the Baptizer say of Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And Andrew followed John's gaze and pointing finger, and he followed Jesus. He simply took John at his word. There was the Lamb of God. Go follow him. He even went and he brought his brother, Simon, and he said, "We found the Messiah." And he brought Simon to Jesus too. Now, at least Simon got some sort of sign from Jesus that there was more to Jesus than met the eye, when he seemed to know Simon's name even before they were properly introduced. "Oh, you are Simon, son of John." Nobody told Jesus that. "You shall be called Cephas," that is, Peter. Like Andrew, Philip rushes off and he gets his best friend, Nathanael, to come and to meet this Jesus whom he is now following. "We have found him, of whom Moses in the Torah and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Well, not quite, but he's close. Philip is all excited. He's found the Messiah, the Christ, the one everybody's been waiting for. He's the one named Jesus from Nazareth, the son of that carpenter named Joseph. He's precisely, how he knows all this, we're not quite sure. Perhaps he got this from John the Baptizer, or maybe he got it from Andrew, who was with Jesus the day before. But regardless, Philip is all gung-ho about this Jesus, can't wait to tell everybody, including his best friend. Now, Nathanael, and this is why I like Nathanael, he's a bit more skeptical than Philip is, and he says, "Nazareth!" "Oh, Nazareth, that's a good one. Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth was hardly the place one would expect messianic material to come from. Nazareth was nothing but this tiny little town up in the north country, a garrison town, a military town up in the highlands, watching over the northern border. Nazareth is never mentioned in either Moses or the prophets. Bethlehem is, but not Nazareth. Besides, Nazareth has a reputation, because you know how it is when you have all those soldiers in town and what happens. And so, honestly, really, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Doubtful. And I love Philip's answer. We should memorize Philip's answer. "Come and see. Come and see." Never mind your preconceived notions, your prejudices, your skepticism. Never mind what you know about Nazareth. Just come and see for yourself. And I absolutely love Jesus' initial encounter with Nathanael. Before they even shake hands and are introduced, Jesus says with divine tongue firmly planted in cheek, "Hey, look, there's a true Israelite in whom there is no guile." Right. This one tells it exactly the way he sees it. And this kind of catches Nathanael off guard because Jesus seems to know him and they've never met before. And so he says, "How do you know me?" And Jesus says, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Now, that doesn't seem to mean very much. I know when you read it, you say, so, I'm sitting under a fig tree. But it greatly impressed Nathanael, and so we have to assume we're missing a couple of details in the story here. St. Augustine, when he preached on this back in the 4th century, he makes this great comment about how Adam sinned under the tree, and now Nathanael finds his Savior under the tree. That's really good. Not very good exegesis, but it's a really cool thought, and I thought I'd share it with you here. Some scholars think that Nathanael may have been reading the Torah under the fig tree, which was a common custom, and people were wont to do that at that time. It's a nice time to be alone, your little alone time with God under the fig tree, and so that he encountered Christ in the Torah. That's not bad. Or it may have been as simple as there was no one around when Nathanael was under the fig tree for whatever purposes, and Jesus claims to have seen him. Now, that would be interesting. Whatever it was, those words of Jesus cut through Nathanael's skepticism and drew his confession. "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." He saw, he heard, he believed, which is the pattern throughout John's gospel. They see, they hear, they believe. Culminating in that word to Thomas, remember, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe," which would include the likes of you and me. And Jesus hints at much more to come for Nathanael. "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree." That was nothing, Nathanael. You haven't seen anything yet. "You will see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Jesus identifies himself with, of all things in the Torah, the ladder of Jacob's dream, when he put his head on a rock and fell asleep in the wilderness and dreamed about a ladder with angels ascending and descending, a ladder connecting heaven with earth on which the angels ascend and descend. It's not a ladder of our ascent to God, our stairway to heaven, but of God's descent to us, his coming down from heaven, to be Emmanuel, to be God with us, to die for us, to conquer our sin, to rise from the dead, to ascend to the right hand of majesty, to bring us to his Father, and to be the sole mediator, the go-between between God and man. Oh, Nathanael, greater things than these you are going to see. In the Synoptic Gospels, Nathanael is historically identified with Bartholomew. You don't get Nathanael in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, only John. But he's historically identified with the disciple Bartholomew, of whom the least is known of the disciples. Now, history and church tradition tell us that Nathanael, also known as Bartholomew, brought the gospel to India and also to Caucasian Armenia, where he is revered to this day as the patron saint of the churches of Armenia. There are three legends about his martyrdom. One says that he was kidnapped, beaten up, and drowned in the sea. Another said that he was crucified upside down the same way that Peter was. And a third, and the most enduring, is that Nathanael, also known as Bartholomew, was skinned alive. In fact, there are statues and iconography of Nathanael holding his own skin and a knife. One thing is certain, he saw greater things than even the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, and certainly greater things than he had seen under the fig tree. The skeptic becomes the believer, all because he came and saw. He came and saw Jesus. You know, that's really what evangelism is all about. I don't know why we complicate this. We have courses, videos, tree ring binders. It's all about the invitation to come and see. You'll note that Philip didn't quite get all of his I's dotted and his T's crossed about Jesus, but it was sufficient, a simple invitation from a good friend to come and see this Jesus. And what you will see and hear are greater things that could be seen or heard anywhere else. People reborn and renewed in Christ. Sins forgiven for Jesus' sake. Sinners justified before God. Men and women made right with God. Great wonders. Skeptics today still wonder, can anything good come out of the church? The church's reputation isn't very good these days, in case you haven't noticed. There's word on the street about corruption, immorality, hypocrisy. Most of it is earned. There are skeptics today who wonder whether any of it is true or whether Christianity is just a bunch of silly wishful thinking. Can anything good come out of Christianity? I can assure you of this. Skeptical men like Nathaniel do not get skinned alive for silly, wishful thinking. Come and see. Come and hear. Hear what God in Christ has done and is doing to save you and the world. Invite your friends. Invite your neighbors. Invite the Nathaniels in your life, the skeptics, to do the same. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Come and hear the forgiveness of your sins. Come and receive what God in Christ has done and is doing by his Holy Spirit and the Word. And you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And greater things than these. Speak, Lord, for your servant listens. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.